Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text for this evening is a portion of the first reading where we hear these words. On the Sabbath day, we went out to the gate and along the river, where we thought there was a place of prayer. We sat down and began to talk to the women gathered there. There was a woman by the name of Lydia, a dealer in purple goods, who came from the town of Thyatira. She worshipped God. As she listened, the Lord opened her heart to accept what Paul said. When she and her family were baptized, she urged us, "If you are convinced that I believe in the Lord, come and stay at my house." And she made us come. These are the words of our text. We're told that the Lord opened her heart to the message that Paul was sharing with these women. There's been some change in Paul's life here in chapter 15 of Acts. He and Barnabas have had a dispute. They've had a little dispute over a fellow by the name of John Mark who had been with them for a time and then left and now wants to join up with them again. And Paul is very adamant, "No, I don't want him with us again." And Barnabas says, "Well, you know, maybe he made a mistake. He's young. Let's give him a second chance." And there's a breaking apart. In fact, we're told that their argument was so great that the only way for them to resolve it was for them to part company. And so Barnabas goes off with John Mark and a man by the name of Silas and Timothy join up with St. Paul. Also at this time, Luke joins the party of St. Paul, Timothy, and Silas. And there's a change in venue. God has come to Paul in a vision of a man from Macedonia standing and saying, "Come over and help us." And Paul took this to mean that they were to go over there and preach the gospel in Macedonia. Now the gospel is moving from Asia to Europe. And it's moving from areas where there are predominantly Jews and Gentiles to a land that is predominantly Gentile in nature. In fact, we're told that on the Sabbath day, Timothy and Paul and the others went along the river to a place where they supposed was a place of prayer. Usually, Paul and his companions on the Sabbath go to the synagogue. But there is no synagogue in Philippi. Rather interesting fact is that there had to be 10 Jewish men for a synagogue to start. And we're told here that Paul talked with the women who gathered at the river at this place of prayer. And among them was one by the name of Lydia, a dealer in purple goods, which means she's very well-to-do because purple cloth was very expensive, and even to manufacture it required a great deal of money because the dye came from the ooze of some bugs or caterpillar that got smushed and that oozed purple, and that was what the dye came from. And it was a rather rare caterpillar or bug, which made it costly. And if you've ever squeezed a caterpillar or a bug, there isn't an awful lot that comes out of one of them little things. So, but she's a fear of God. She worships God. And we're told that as they were listening, the Lord opened her heart to accept what Paul said. God also had opened the heart of Paul. First of all, to go to this country of Philippi, this Macedonia, this Europe, this land of Gentiles. He's also opened his heart to go to a place where Paul was rather unaccustomed to go, to an informal gathering, if you will, of women. People sometimes referred to St. Paul as a woman hater, but yet even in the sphere of influence of St. Paul there are a great deal of women who are companions and supporters of his ministry. And among this group we find Lydia. And God opened her heart. I've always liked Lydia, the Lydia of our text, although I do like Lydia of our congregation as well. But Lydia, the Lord opened her heart to accept what Paul was saying. And there's a lesson for us also, that it is God himself who opens the heart to accept what he says, not you or I who opens the heart, but God opens the heart through his word, yes, to allow that message to be accepted by the hearer. That's an important thing to understand and to remember, particularly as we want to share God's word and share the love of God with people who are important to us, with family members, with neighbors, with co-workers, people who do not fully understand and know the message of Jesus Christ and the joy of the salvation that he offers. And we oftentimes get caught up in the idea that we're the ones that are going to do something to get them to believe, to get them to accept God's word as truth, and to embrace that hope that fills us. There's a saying, you can lead a horse to water, but you can't make it drink. And it's true that we can lead people to opportunities where they hear God's word. We can invite visitors and guests, our neighbors and our family, to join us here in worship. We can have conversations with them about God and how he intersects them in their life situations and their time of life crisis. But it's really dependent upon God to open their heart. And that's a very freeing thing for us to know, because God simply asks of us to share the hope that's in us. We're to be prepared at all times and every season to give testimony to the hope that fills us when anyone asks. Now that presupposes that that hope is evident in our life. It presupposes that that hope that we have in the Lord Jesus is so evident in our life that people notice a difference about us. And that as we share that hope, as we share God's word with him, he will work through that word. And for some people, maybe it's a long time, many exposures to that word before their heart is really opened. But in every instance, God is preparing them a little bit more and a little bit more for that time when he will open their heart completely to that word. And he's preparing their heart not only through the message that you and I share, but he's also preparing them through the situations of their life that come and intersect their path with ours. He works through the layoff at the workplace. He works through the tragedy that comes into life through accidents, deaths of loved ones, heartbreaks, discouragement. All of those events he's using to prepare that person to receive that message of hope. But he's also working in your life and my life through those same life experiences to prepare us to share that hope with them, but also sometimes to prepare us for the sending to the individual that he's chosen for us. The Bible is full of God sending people to others to share his word. There's a story of the Philip who's walking along the way and happens upon an Ethiopian who is reading the book of Isaiah. doesn't have any understanding about it. And so Philip opens the scripture to him, helps him to understand. When I was returned home this afternoon, I opened the front door to get the mail, and there was a flyer that fell out of the front door. At first, I didn't see that it was a flyer. I thought a bird was flying in the house. After I gained my composure, I saw it was a flyer. And it was from the Jehovah's Witnesses, inviting me to attend their convention over in Green Bay and to learn the real truth of what the Christ has to say. And that sort of made me a little curious. There's also a little offer for a book that said what the scriptures really teach. And I thought, that would be rather interesting. But I crumpled it up and threw it away because I didn't want to get onto their mailing list. But everybody out there claims that they have the truth. The truth about who Jesus Christ is. The truth about what God has to say about this, that, and everything else. But really, what the truth that God has to share with us about boils down to is a message of hope in salvation in Jesus Christ, a message of forgiveness from sin, a message of freedom from guilt, a message of victory over the world and death. And we're told here that the Lord opened Lydia's heart to accept what Paul was saying. I always get a little nervous when this text comes across my way, because it usually isn't very long after that that God raises something up in my life where somebody's saying, come over here and help us. One time it meant taking on 3 vacancies at the same time. Another time it meant establishing a joint parish with another congregation. A couple of times it meant taking on other responsibilities. I'm anticipating something's going to be coming across my path. Do things come across your path? Nudgings, urgings of God to open your heart? I've learned that I can't open people's hearts to see the same things that I see. Only God can do that. And that's a wonderful thing. Because if he opens people's eyes to see what I see in him, then they're not hearing just the ordinary word from an ordinary man, but they're hearing an extraordinary word from God about his extraordinary love that just happens to come from the lips of an ordinary man, and sometimes from an ordinary woman. And it's a lesson for us also, because sometimes we may have our eyes open, but our hearts may be very closed to the needs of those around us, closed to those who are being lost, closed to the open doors that God has presented to us, closed to the possibilities that he would work in our lives to increase our joy, not only in our salvation, but also in sharing it with others. Paul indeed has a great affection for the Philippians, the Philippian Christians. Not only does Lydia open her heart, but I believe that all of those who gathered in her house at that congregation, that church that met there, opened their hearts. Because Paul is very open and very free with his praise for the Philippian Christians and the example that they are to the other churches that he's established. What a wonderful thing to be praised for being such a great example of what it means to live in the grace of God, in the hope of salvation and the joy of forgiveness and eternal life. Wouldn't it be wonderful for it to be said of us? Their eyes were opened by the Lord to the things that he would do amongst them, and they were fine examples of what it meant to walk with the Lord. Only God can grant that blessing, but it certainly is our prayer and our hope that he would open our hearts not only to his word, but also to the opportunity that he has given to us to share that word with others. May God grant that, not only to the glory of his name, but to the salvation of those souls whose hearts he will open to receive it. Amen.